Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You know, honestly, the biggest thing that they have said is the difference between MLS and Europe. For them, it's not the quality of players, but it's really...
Yo, what is going on? And welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I'm Ranjit Sala, editor of UrbanPitch.com. Joined by the co-executive directors of Vibes, Julio Monteros and Bridget Flores. What's going on, y'all?
What is going on? Happy Wednesday.
It's a happy Wednesday indeed, because we have a very special guest joining us via Zoom from the Colorado Rapids. He's one of the drippiest ballers in MLS. We got our guy, John Lewis, joining the show. John, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming by.
Nothing much. Can't complain. Just going through life, you know, good seasons and full effect right now, so a lot of things happening, you know. Leagues Cup right now, unfortunately our team got knocked out early, but you know, just watching that unfold, just, you know, been a really great tournament for the MLS, so just, you know, excited for everything that's coming up and just can't wait for the season to return next week.
Yeah, it's been a crazy MLS season this year, just with like everything going on. I mean, you know, the addition of Leagues Cup, obviously, you know, the big news was Messi joining the league. What's it like? Like just being a part of the league in such an exciting time, and you know, both, even if you zoom out in American soccer, like American soccer is going off, like whether it's, we're about to host the World Cup, we're getting some
Copa America
is coming, you know. What's it just been like being in MLS and in American soccer in such kind of like an exciting time?
No, it's just like, you know, I guess you could compare it to like the economy, you know, back in the day when we had the economic like boom back in the 1900s, you know. I feel like that's kind of how like soccer is going in America right now. We're having like a soccer boom in America, and it's just like, you know, I think the Leagues Cup is really showing how much soccer has grown in America. Like, we're talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night games that are selling out. That some of these companies, you know, Nashville. I watched Nashville play last night against Club America, which is obviously the biggest team in Liga MX. And I mean, it was a Tuesday night. Who would have thought Tuesday nights have sold out soccer games? And the atmosphere in that game was unbelievable. So it's just like, you know, I think people are not only looking at soccer games as like something to just do to kill time, but like it's an exciting thing to go to now. And I think a lot of fans are starting to embrace like how fun games actually are and the passion that soccer games bring. And now people aren't thinking it's just like these boring 1-0, 0-0 games anymore. Like, you're seeing a lot of high scoring games, as you, Messi on Sunday with Inter Miami against FC Dallas. That game, that's one of the best MLS games or MLS team games that I've ever witnessed in my career. And I've been in the league now for 7 years and probably been watching MLS for about 9 or 10 years now. So, just, you know, seeing that atmosphere, you know, I think soccer it's really growing a lot in America, and especially with the MLS and even with the U.S. national team, with the women's national team, the men's national team, you know, you're seeing sold out games around the country. You know, last year in the World Cup qualifying, leading up to the World Cup, you know, you saw some of these big games, Mexico, USA, and I think was it in Cincinnati or in Columbus, one of those two. It's a rainy night during the week, sold out stadium, you know. So for me, it's just seeing that soccer is growing so much that like, now tickets are becoming a demand amongst American fans and American people. Like, you know, people want to go to games. You know, I think one of the best experiences I've had this year, you know, I haven't been to the Columbus Crew new stadium until this year. We played them on a Wednesday night. And again, to just see that atmosphere, you know, people marching from downtown to go to the stadium, a sold out stadium on a Wednesday night. It was just like, soccer is really coming to America now.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchups reports for baseball, boxing, golfing, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
I think going into the year, when they announced Leagues Cup, people were kind of confused about, you know, oh, is this going to be taken seriously, you know, right in the middle of the season, you know, kind of as the playoff push, like, starts going. And now I think you've seen a lot of teams have taken this, you know, quite seriously, and they're putting out their full lineups there. What has been your take, both participating in and watching Leagues Cup so far, and the overall excitement of the addition of this competition?
Well, no, I mean, I think, again, you see teams, they're rolling out some of their strongest lineups. And actually, one of the things that I realized is the Leagues Cup happened right around the secondary transfer window. And it's almost like teams, I feel like, retooled for the Leagues Cup. They were like, all right, we have strong team or weak team in the MLS season. We can use the Leagues Cup as a platform to turn our season around. Let's make moves to make our team stronger, do well in the Leagues Cup, and ultimately, you know, finish the season out strong. So for me, it's like, and again, I take Miami, for example, of course, signing Lionel Messi. It's the greatest player ever, in my opinion, to play the game of soccer. But, you know, for me, that's not even the biggest signing of their team. You know, they signed Sergio Busquets, who's obviously one of the greatest D mids to ever play, who's been the catalyst for their team. That's why Messi's been, he starts every single attack. But I mean, bringing in some of those young players that they just brought in from, I think two of them from Argentina, one from Paraguay, you know, they built their team up now that they have a very competitive team that not only are they in contention to win the Leagues Cup, but like, they have a real shot to now make the playoffs for the first time in their club's history. So it's like, you see teams are like, wow, like, easy way, well, not easy, but a way into the CONCACAF Champions League, a big competition with a lot of money at stake and a lot of ticket revenue at stake and just a lot of hype around the tournament, and an opportunity to now see, like, which players can really compete with not only the best players in MLS, but now the best players in Liga MX. And I think now, like, you know, across the league, you see some players maybe in this tournament who maybe have been struggling a little bit in MLS to start the season off coming to Leagues Cup against some of these good Liga MX teams are doing really well. And then it opens up eyes like, whoa, this player is actually really a dangerous player or really a threat. And for me, it's just been an amazing competition. You know, I do think that, and this is coming from an MLS player saying, you know, I think what will make it a more intriguing tournament is I think MLS teams start to travel down to Mexico. So it's more an even competition, because I think, you know, us as MLS players getting to experience that Mexican culture, and you see how the fans are crazy down there and the passion, you know, I think that would make the tournament amazing. You know, I definitely think it should be like through the group stages, you can play home and away to Mexico in the United States because we're off for a whole month. So I think the travel is not that bad. And then maybe in the knockout stages have it all in America. But all in all, you know, the Leagues Cup for me, I think this was the best tournament that they honestly could have came up with for the MLS. You know, I think the evolution for this tournament is maybe start to do it how it is in Europe, so how they do Champions League during the regular season, you know, being able to integrate it where there's games all the time. So, and it, that would force it, so like whether it's CONCACAF Champions League, Leagues Cup, MLS games, Open Cup, but the fact that you're participating in so many competitions, it's going to force owners to have to start spending money on the rosters to make the rosters 20, 25 deep and make the quality of all the teams good from roster spots 1 to 20, you know. And for me, is I think a lot of owners and teams look at a bunch of competitions as a bad thing. But for me, it's like I look at a bunch of competitions as a good thing because that means there's a lot of games for everyone to play. But also it can create great competition amongst the squad because now you have to bring in quality players so you can compete on all fronts. And for me, that's what makes Man City so good. Man City can field two starting 11s of top class players, but it's because they play in so many competitions. Everyone plays. No one's really unhappy. So for me, it's like, I think that's the evolution of the Leagues Cup, is now how do we get it so we can play during the MLS season and just make the roster stronger all throughout.
So there have been rumors about you guys playing playing La Copa Libertadores, South American Cup, the club, one of the biggest, most notorious cups out there. How do you feel about that? How do you feel like MLS teams can compete against these South American clubs like Boca Juniors, Santos, Fluminense, all these big South American clubs?
No, and again, that's the next evolution for MLS. You know, you think about the UEFA Champions League, it's all of Europe, the best teams in Europe. You know, I think obviously there's so many countries in Europe. So for us to combine the MLS, the South American clubs, like the Colombian, Argentinian, Brazilian clubs, and the Mexican clubs, you know, all the best teams on this side of the hemisphere into one tournament, you know, I think it's going to just be beneficial for everyone because again, I think, you know, in some of those, in those leagues like Brazil and Argentina, which are the two biggest South American leagues, I think that, you know, maybe if you don't play for necessarily the Santoses or the Boca Juniors or River Plate, you may not get seen by an MLS team or a European team. But I think in a competition like that, it can open up opportunities for players who may play on a smaller team like a Fortaleza. You know, maybe they, in a one-off game, you have an amazing game against an MLS team or a Liga MX team, and they're like, holy crap, we should buy this player. He's really good. Or, you know, so I think for me, that just opens up avenues not only for American players, but I think it opens up avenues for everyone. For every, you know, maybe Boca Junior sees, I don't even know, who's a top U.S. player in the MLS. So a Miles Robinson playing, like, holy crap, this kid is so good. Santos comes in. Let's bring in our first American player. I just think that doing something like that, it's going to make the quality of players better from all the leagues altogether, different styles of plays, people adapting. But ultimately, I think it opens up windows for all players to now make a big transfer market between MLS, Liga MX, and all the South American teams.
Do you believe MLS teams can compete in the that South American competition? Because there's a lot of talk. Like, if that does happen, MLS teams are just going to get ran through. They're not at the level of these teams. How do you feel about the MLS today competing against South American clubs?
I mean, I think you're seeing it now. Everybody said the Liga MX teams were going to kill all the Mexican teams, and you see the MLS teams, they're doing well in the. I mean, at the end of the day, I've seen things on Twitter where some of the Liga MX teams are just like, they're at a competitive disadvantage because they have to travel and this and that. But at the same time, they're playing on better fields, and the Mexican national team didn't make the Mexican national team didn't make those excuses for a while. You know, they come to the U.S. and whoop our asses all the time. So now I don't think that's really an excuse. So for me, it's like, you know, you see some of the best play. I mean, Thiago Almada is a perfect example. He was a top player in Argentina, was doing really well in Argentina, but don't get me wrong, does very well in MLS. But I don't think he's ripping the MLS as well as he did in Argentina. I mean, he was undoubtedly the best young player. So I think, you know, it's different styles of soccer. And I think, you know, I don't think that we would get wiped the floor with like people think, you know, but I do think for us to compete against, like I said, those big teams in South America, the Rivers, the Bocas, the Corinthians, all those teams, you have to invest in the squads more. And I think your scouting systems become a lot, you have to become a lot stronger. Your training has to be better. Coaches have to become better. So I do think the infrastructure is there for MLS teams to not only compete, but honestly be able to dominate. But I think, you know, it's going to take a lot of work from not just the players, but from top down to be able to compete in those type of competitions.
Yeah, I think because there's always that talk about, you know, where MLS is compared to other leagues. And it's like you can go into an endless rabbit hole of, you know, saying, oh, you know, how do we compare to some of these European leagues or the championship or, you know, the Eredivisie in the Netherlands? You can do all these like comparisons by the numbers of the eye test, but you'll never really know until they go up head to head. And so I think something like this where, you know, even the Leagues Cup where you get more competition between, you know, Liga MX and MLS, because there's always going to be that debate. You know, when we go to different stadiums and we ask people, you know, yo, which league is better, Liga MX or MLS? It's very polarizing. Like, people will always have like, yo, MLS is way better. You know, they've been growing for so much longer. And then other people will say it's not close. Liga MX has the history. They, you know, they have all these, the CONCACAF Champions League. You take a look at that. So I think putting more competitions, we're in a unique position where, you know, if we're able to make this happen, it'll be very exciting. So I think this is a very exciting time in American soccer, and just getting that, seeing that growth it's a really good time to be a fan, a player, just involved in professional soccer in the U.S.
No, definitely. Like, I just had an argument with one of my friends about if we take the top two top heavy teams like Real Madrid, Barcelona off the league, I think our top teams can compete. It's not much of a difference. We have great players. We have this. What we've done in 27 years, give or take, it's amazing. It's amazing to see from other teams, that other leagues that have been doing 100 years, years and years about it. Like, yeah, we're making a big climb.
Yeah.
Did you say you just said a top team in MLS can compete with Real Madrid?
No.
If we take them out,
we take the top heavy teams from these competitions, we can compete.
I mean, I guess playing in MLS, you play with guys who have, obviously some of these players have played at the highest level. You know, I had the opportunity to play with Andrea Pirlo and David Villa. And then Patrick Vieira was also my coach back in New York City FC, but
yeah,
these guys obviously played at the highest level. You know, talking to them, they've definitely said that. Honestly, the biggest thing that they have said is the difference between MLS and Europe. For them, it's not the quality of players, but it's really, and they used to say it's not really the promotion relegation, but it's about, it's the pressure that you have to deal with in MLS. It does, because they were saying that you can create pressure without doing promotion relegation, because I remember Patrick used to say, like, in Holland, only one team, I think, gets relegated, or two teams get relegated. Like, they don't really have, like, a crazy relegation system. But it's like, how do you create more pressure to be better? And sometimes it could just be simple as maybe not doing a salary cap, for example, because one of the things David Villa used to say is, like, the pressure to get better is, if everyone has a salary cap, then if everyone just spends the same, then you can almost create equality amongst the teams. But if there's no salary cap or something like that to limit, then you have to find ways to be better. That puts pressure on players, management, coaches, all that, to be better, because maybe a LAFC is going to go spend a crazy amount of money, but the Colorado Rapids won't spend as much money. So then how do you become better? How do you put pressure on the team? Scouting has to be better. Player, you have to make sure you find the right coaches. You might, you know what I mean? So that was something that was interesting that we discussed, was that they said that the relegation doesn't need to be creating pressure and make this league more competitive. But it's certain, they think, they used to say they felt like it was the salary cap would make the league more competitive and less, and more pressure. But, and then the last thing they always used, that David used to say for him, that, again, he felt like the quality of players. He said that there's a, maybe, again, not in the La Ligas and the Premier Leagues, because I do think that is a different level. You know, I got to play against Arsenal with Colorado, like, 2019, and, like, you see that it is a different level. Like, even at the time, I think Bukayo Saka was, like, 17 years old, and I promise you, he'd be the best DP in the league. Like, we're talking about very good. No, and, like, that's what I'm saying. So I do think that, you know, that level, like, the top six in those leagues, they're, you have to give them their flowers. But, like, a lot of MLS players could play in some of these, what you would call, very good leagues, like top of the Portuguese league, top of the Eredivisie, top of the championship, you know. But the difference is what V and Patrick used to say, is that a lot of soccer MLS coaches are new, and they're not as experienced as European coaches. And he feels like, you know, like, I got to co- when I was at New York, we had David Patrick Vieira, who was a European style coach, obviously coach at Manchester City. Then we also, they had Jason Christ, who, again, a very good American coach, but he said that there was just such a big difference, you know. And I think that's one of the biggest things, I think, is that I think the next evolution of American soccer is not just developing players, but developing coaches. And I think, you know, once that happens, because we want our American coaches to be good, but just how players need to develop, I think coaches have to continue to develop training sessions, game management, all that stuff, because I do think that in MLS, you do see more often, again, and there's no disrespect to any MLS team, but a team that has a good team and not a great coach win, then vice versa. A team with not as good of a players and a really good coach, and they actually evolve the team, because I don't think there are as many, like, not today, but I'm just saying the history of MLS, as many coaches that are on the same level as you. You know, you don't see, like, the Brightons and Aston Villas, the teams that don't spend as much as the other teams, winning like how they do in the Premier League, because simply because they have a coach like Unai Emery or a coach like De Zerbi. Like, these are coaches that completely just develop these teams. They're not spending money. I mean, look at the guy that's about to go to Chelsea, Caicedo. This guy was playing in Ecuador like a year ago. Now he comes in, Graham Potter and De Zerbi. This guy's one of the best defensive mids in the Premier League now. And that's just strictly getting developed. You know, I feel like you don't see that happen as often in MLS. You know, like, I feel like a lot of coaches do see in MLS, like, if they play, they develop. But it's not like, you know, so I think that's the evolution. I think, you know, not getting better coaches, just developing our current coaches that we have more, as well as the players.
And that's something that we've discussed as well, is especially with, like, the U.S. men's national team coach, because that was, like, a huge discussion point, like, in recent time. Yeah, where, you know, people had a lot to say about Greg Berhalter, and they
still
wanted,
do.
Yeah.
No, I just feel like they gave a Ferrari to a Prius driver.
Okay. He's that's like the fifth time he's made that metaphor.
He wants it to go viral.
I know.
No, but like, that's what I feel like I've said this plenty of times. I feel like we have the quality of players in the national team. We just need that tactical genius, that coach with experience, to take us over that hump that we have.
Yeah, but you've had a...
I have my opinions on that, I will say. I mean, I've been in the national team and I've played with a lot of these players. I do think this is going to be a big hot take, I know, but I do think vice versa. I think we have the quality to be a very, very good team. I do still think we're off, though, because at the end of the day, you see our best players, you know, like some of them are at big clubs, but they're not consistent with their big clubs yet. And it goes to show is that I think we have players who are good enough to be at these big clubs, but are they good enough to consistently week in, week out, be performing at some of these big clubs? And I think that doesn't really come down to the coaches. I think that comes down to we have a lot of quality players, but I would say our best players in the national team right now, and this is, you know, and behind the scenes, but like a lot of the guys who are on the national team say the same thing. Our best players, they don't quite believe are ready to play at like the top sixes of these big leagues, the Madrids, the AC Milans, the whatever, Chelsea's, whatever, you know, maybe one or two, but like a lot of players on our best team, their level right now would probably be like, if I like to compare everything to the Premier League, that's my favorite league. So probably like that's 6 to 10 range, 7 to 10 range, you know? So like the Brightons or the Villas, the Newcastle, obviously I know Newcastle came top four, but we know on paper the top 6 teams in the Premier League the time.
Yeah.
But like we would say that's the level of our best players. Honestly, that's how I generally feel, you know, like, again, barring maybe the Christian Pulisic, for me, that's and Tyler Adams. But I would say, for me, honestly, those are the only two I think could play at, like, right now, like, they can play. You stick them on a Man City, they could play on a maybe not Man City. That was a stretch. But
right, but no, I get what you mean.
We get what you're saying.
They have, you know, they can hang with anyone.
Exactly.
You know?
But other guys, I do feel like, can play in the Premier League week in, week out, but now you put them into those really dominant teams, will they play? Will they actually be as dominant as they are? So for me, it's like, I personally think Greg Berhalter is an unbelievable coach. That's one of the reasons why he got the job, is because, like I said, what I know behind the scenes, all the players wanted him back. Because a lot of players developed a lot under Greg Berhalter. For me, he's one of the American coaches that, if they were going to go American, it had to be Greg. If they went over foreign, okay. Like, I know that they were looking at Patrick Vieira. For me, I know Vieira for... I could have got back in the national team if it was for Vieira, but that's a guy, okay, if you chose him over Greg, I could see, but him and Greg are very similar in terms of their style of play. Like, it's exactly the same. So, like, I know a lot of U.S. fans always talk about Greg this and that, but Patrick is the exact same way. So, I would have been curious to see what will American fans say about Patrick, because I do think a lot of American fans, you know, they have a lot of stuff to say about American coaches, about MLS players, but then, like, someone else comes along and does the exact same thing, but because they're playing in Europe, they let it slide. And I'm telling you right now, I've had both of them as a coach, and Vieira will do exactly the same. Like, when I went to my first national team camp, it was almost like I was at an NYCFC training again, because it's the exact same. Because Greg Berhalter studies Pep Guardiola, and that's exactly who Patrick, the City Football Group, has built their whole basis of their organization on Pep Guardiola, that he has a whole handbook. Like, there's like training sheet, and Greg studies that. So like all the training sessions are exactly the same. Like, I promise you, if we had Patrick Vieira as our coach, we'd play exactly the same how we did in the World Cup. So I wonder if people would have hated on Patrick like they do Greg. So for me, I think Greg is the right coach. I don't want to say he's the right coach, but I think for all the candidates that actually wanted the job, for me, I think he was the most qualified. But I do think that, you know, a lot of people think U.S. soccer, we should be playing semifinals of the World Cup and stuff. And I don't quite think we're there yet. Like, I do think, like, I think we're just outside of, like, the top 10 probably in the world right now. Like, I do think, you know, there's countries that I would still say, like, even smaller countries that I would say, like, you play, we go against them, and we would still struggle. Not struggle, but we wouldn't beat them, like, as easy as people think. Like, a Denmark, you know, like, you would think, like, on paper, we have more players playing at higher levels than Denmark, but I promise you, like, their footballing education is better. It's just, it's the reality. It's better than ours. So when it comes to these international tournaments, they're going to do better. Like, you know, they did so well in the Euros, like a club, like a country like Denmark.
Right.
So
yeah.
I do think we have a lot, like I said, we have a lot of very good players, but I don't think we have world-class players yet. And that's, like, the difference. For me, it's, like, that's the evolution. Like I said, we have a one or two, but, you know, I don't think we're ready to compete with the Frances, the Brazils, these Englands, you know, and I know against in the World Cup we did well against England, but like we also, bro, why is everyone trying to call me right now? But no, we did well. We did well. We did well against England. Like, look how we played against England. You know, a lot of counterattack, a lot of press. They had the ball the whole time. You know, I think the next evolution is being able to dominate those type of teams. But I do think, again, by 2026, can we do it? Yes, I 100% agree.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bruce.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, I think you've been bringing up a lot of great points. I feel and, like, I see the passion that you have behind everything you've been saying. From what you said about, like, we're in a time of soccer boom, like, I 100% agree, not only for, like, the men's but the women's side. But I'm very curious to know, like, what gives you that passion? Like, I'm sure, like, being an MLS player is a part of it, but behind all of that, like, what is it that has brought you to the game, that has brought you to, like, wanting to be, you know, like, a soccer player? Like, what gave you that from the very beginning?
No, just both my parents are Caribbean. Well, my mom's half British, half Trini. And then my dad is full Jamaican. So just my parents being Caribbean, it's just like traveling to the Caribbean when we were younger. That's just the sport everybody played. So I just always liked it. You know, like, me and my brothers and sisters are first generation American, but we've all lived in the Caribbean. We lived in Jamaica when we were younger, went to school there. So that alone is what really kind of drew me to soccer. That's where I first really started playing. Like, I don't want to say seriously, but like really started to like it because I saw how different it was, the passion for soccer in the Caribbean, and seeing how that's what everybody does there. No one plays any other sports, you know, and obviously in America, it's about football and it's about basketball. And I actually love basketball, like, a lot. Like, I wish if I was 6 foot or 6'1", like, I would have tried to go to the NBA, but, you know, but no, and honestly, like, I wasn't always good at soccer either. Like, I honestly was, like, very average growing up, but I just always loved playing. Like, it just, like, I like playing the game of soccer, you know, and, you know, I was able, fortunate enough, become good enough to go to the MLS, but for me, it was just like, we just loved waking up on a Saturday morning, 7:45. You know, I grew up in South Florida. Me and my brothers, we wake up 7:45. Like, my brother, older brother's an Arsenal fan. My little brother's a City fan. I'm actually a Real Madrid fan, but I always just rooted for the players I liked. I liked Ronaldo. So watching Man United, and we would just like go at it with each other, like, oh, who's going to win today? One TV's playing United, one TV's playing City, one, like, you know. So we just, like, we had that thrill from America, like, being in America. And it's, like, you know, the first time I got to go overseas and, like, actually go watch, like, an English Premier League game, I watched Man City, and just seeing that type of atmosphere and just, you know. And then not only just watching Man City, but then I got to go to a lower league game. I watched a team in the third division, and just seeing how crazy the passion is for soccer as all levels in Europe, you know, it just made me even love the game more. And that's when I decided, I was like, I want to go pro. Like, you know, I actually came to the conclusion I want to go pro from, like, a late age, because when I was 16 years old, I did not think I was going to go pro. And then, like, I went to Europe at 16 and I turned 17, and I was like, wow, like, I want to do this. Like, I want to play in Europe. I want to do this. I want to, you know, like, I didn't even have a thought to play. And I didn't even know what MLS really was. Like, I just wanted to play in Europe, like, even if it was the lower leagues, because, like, the passion for the sport, you know. So I think that's where, like, my love and the passion came from, though. It's just, like, from the grassroots, living in the Caribbean, going to Trinidad and Tobago all the time, going to Jamaica, just seeing how people love soccer over there. You know, that's what made me fall in love with it.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
And growing up in Jamaica, we've had firsthand reports of Jamaican.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
KFC just being on, like, a whole nother level.
It's a vibe.
No, but I heard Trinidadian KFC is way better. So.
Yeah.
So who has a better KFC?
We need to know. We need to, like, yeah. We're keeping track of people telling us. Like, we need to know before you make it out there.
Shout out Crumbs. Shout out the homies from Connecticut. We just had this debate last week about who had the best, because my brother went to school in Connecticut. His friends are Jamaican and Trinidadian. And I just threw that out there in the group chat. So we need you to be the truthful. Like, who has the best KFC, Trinidad or Jamaica?
You know, the funny thing is, I haven't had KFC from either of those places probably in, like, 7 or 8 years. It's been so long. So it's like,
yeah.
Oh man. The thing is, it's funny that you bring that up though, because it definitely tastes better than American KFC. And McDonald's over there tastes better too. But
another
to the list.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Actually, to be fair, McDonald's in Europe is also way better than both.
That's what I hear. Yeah. Yeah.
McDonald's in Europe is, but what's better, Trini KFC or Jamaican KFC?
Just know everybody watching right now.
Hey, this is a hot take in our podcast.
Our Caribbean fans are watching.
Because my mom's side of the family is literally Trini. My dad's all Jamaican, so I could anger one side of the family right now. I don't know. That's a hard one. I'll tell you right now, in Jamaica, I don't know. I'm going to go Trinidad KFC, honestly.
To be fair, we haven't asked anyone else except him.
Yeah.
Between the two. But even Josh from the Five Aside, he said Trinidad is the best.
Trinidad
is
the best.
But you know, the thing is, in Trinidad, their KFC, it's not even the chicken. Their fries are like very, very like crispy, but like not. Like, they have perfect fries. Their fries are actually very good. Like, when I think about it, like, I don't specifically remember Jamaican KFC that much, but like I specifically remember KFC, like Trini KFC for sure.
There you go. That's the answer.
Yes, yeah,
but I will say, nothing for me. I mean, I like Trini food, but nothing beats Jamaican food. Jamaican beef patties. My dad cooks stew peas, which is unbelievable. Curry go, oxtail. Jamaican food for me is the best food in the world.
Yeah,
and no, it is. It's amazing. I go at least once a month to my spot around the corner, so I enjoy it.
We love that.
And growing up in Miami, I'm sure you were able to find, you know, your fair share of Caribbean food. But now, out in Colorado, have you been able to find a spot?
I don't want to say it, but no. To be fair, there's some good Mexican restaurants here, and I'm a foodie, so like I love. That's like one of my favorite things to do since I've been a pro soccer player. Is like, especially with the national team, when I was getting to travel, just trying different foods from all over the place. Like, I've been to so many countries that I have never expected to be or go to, and just like trying the food, styles of foods, even just the same foods, but how they prepare it differently. So, you know, I definitely love being in different cultures and eating different foods. So like, I will say it does suck that Colorado, like there's the Mexican culture, you can have good Mexican food, but like, that's it. No African food, no Caribbean food, nothing else. Like, it's just Mexican food, so. I would say like, or like your basic like Chinese, or, you know, but like, it's not like real Chinese. So like, American, I will say Chinese, that's the one, like one thing I do not like completely is like, there's not a lot of like cultured restaurants here. So no, I haven't found a good Jamaican spot here. There's no, even African food. Like, I love African, like jollof rice is unbelievable. It's like amazing. And ain't no African food here. Yeah.
But what about what have you been able to like explore Colorado, like, and what are some of the things that you do like about, you know, being out there?
No, I mean, so growing up in South Florida, like living in South Florida for most of my life, it's very different. So South Florida is big for nightlife, but just like, it's just a very lively city. Obviously Miami's, everybody knows about Miami. So Colorado's very different. Everybody's on weed. So everybody's just more chill. So I live downtown. If I was in Florida right now, you peek your head out the window and you see cars hustle and bustle. If I were to show you downtown right now, there's tumbleweed rolling down the streets. So it's definitely just, it's more chill. It's definitely more chill.
All right, like, I'm gonna defend Colorado because I went about a few. My brother owns a house in Denver, so I went to go visit out there, and downtown Denver was popping. Like,
you said, the breweries are good.
The breweries were cool.
He's like, where?
You want to see? I live in the heart of downtown. I'll flip the camera right now.
There was a speakeasy there. He's like, there was a different spot. It's like,
you were in the wrong Denver.
Well, I guess shout out to the girl I was with.
If you like to sit at a bar, just drink, have a conversation, there you can do that in Denver. Like, there are good breweries.
Oh, there, yeah. That's me. Okay.
Yeah,
but that's me.
If you want to go nightclubbing, or you want like good music, no chance here.
Oh,
no,
all right, so I see. He wants bottle service. He wants
the sparklers.
No shirt, be on top of the couch. That's him.
No, like on a Saturday. Like, okay, for example, like here, I feel like, again, growing up in South Florida, like, on a Saturday, you see like beaches packed, downtown's back, people out whether they're drinking or there's festivals or, you know, here on a Saturday, downtown's dead because everyone's in the mountains. For me, I'm not driving to the mountains.
You're not trying to go hike. You're not trying to go camping.
You're trying to line dance.
I like some of the outdoor stuff, but it's not hiking, not camping. No. Like, I went whitewater rafting the other day. That was sick. But, like, okay. I'll do things like that, zip lining, you know, but, like, I like things that are more, like, extreme. Like, that would give me, like, an adrenaline rush. But, like, hiking doesn't do that for me. Like, I don't know.
Like
camping doesn't do that.
Like a club. Bottle service, yeah.
There's nothing quite like that adrenaline rush of bottle service
like
coming your way.
Like strobe lights.
While future giving them toxic versions.
I don't do bottle service.
We get it. We don't do bottle service either. Hey,
his playlist is Future and nobody else. Yeah.
I'm dead.
So we're running out of time here. We don't have as much time as I anticipated, and I wanted to get into this a little bit more, but I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, one of the drippiest ballers in MLS. You know, I think in your Instagram bio you have Fashionista in there. So real quick, give us some of your favorite brands that you're wearing, and just how did you kind of get into fashion, and how has that grown since, you know, you've had that platform to show it off as a pro athlete?
Honestly, I've always been into fashion. I realized how expensive it was after, like, when I got my second contract. Oh my Lord. Sorry, guys. No, I'm gonna decline these calls. They're trying to call me. All my teammates.
Because you that I've been saying you that guy.
No, because we have an off night tonight or tomorrow. So I guess guys, they want to do like a dinner, club. Like a late night.
Hey. The VIP.
Not on a Wednesday. No, we're supposed to go to like a late night dinner. So I do I like going to dinners like that too. So, but no, I think I always liked fashion, but when I was in New York, a lot of the guys didn't like dress up like that. But honestly, it's when I came to Colorado and I'm just seeing Kellen every day. So then one day I wore something to training, to practice. We're talking about practice. I wore sweatpants. He's like, he goes, "You have enough money to dress up. Why do you always look like a bum?"
That sounds like Kellen.
I was like, don't ever disrespect me like that. So then I came the next day. It's to practice. I came some clean, spiffy, you know. At the time, I think people were still kind of rocking like Supreme and Heron Preston. So came with a little Supreme. He looked at me. He's like, "All right." The next day, he came something crazy. I'm like, "Kelly, it's just practice." And then from then, it's just like, I'm just always like, "Nah." Like I've always been into it, but I'm like, "Nah." Like I'm gonna make sure I dress. And then we just got into like a little competition between like me, him, Keegan Rosenberry jumped in, Cole Bassett would jump in. Ooh, so
yeah.
You know, so it just became, it was like a little fun, like banter. But then honestly, like I just started, I was just like, oh, like we even all talked about it, like, let's try to make like an MLS, almost like an MLS, like league fit type of thing. And just like that started to like, and that was something he reached out to the league like back in 2019 at the end of the year. Like the league should start doing things like that, doing like the league fits, posting fits and stuff like that, because there's a lot of people who can dress. So I've just always been into it. And it's just like, honestly, like I generally like when I, whether it's going out or anything, just to like, I always feel like look good, you feel good, you play good. But like, I know like when I come in something fresh, like I feel like, yeah, I'm going to have a good game. So I've always been a sneakerhead too. So that's why I've just always been into fashion. So, and then some of the brands I've been wearing. So like my favorite is probably Rude. I have a lot of Rude pieces. Rude is like my favorite. I like Gallery. Gallery's newer, of course, but a lot of people are starting to like wear Gallery, and I like some of their like abstract type of t-shirts, you know, like they'll have like, not so, I'm not really into the distress look like Balenciaga does, that distress look, but like Rude does, like they'll do like a little distress look, have like polka dots and stuff on it. Like I like the multicolored stuff because I like bright colored stuff, you know. So but Rude I would say is probably like my go-to. I do like some of the streetwear. I have like a streetwear brand list on my phone. I need to find it. Like I don't want to butcher
the names. Yeah, shout out Ruigi real quick though, because that's a Taft High School alumni in the Valley. Okay. Stop playing with me.
There you go.
Look, I literally have. I don't know if you can see. I have my clothing list right here. Can you see this? No.
Nah, not really. But
name is top five.
I'm gonna flip it.
Top five.
Can you see?
Hey,
there we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
There it is. It's all
Dang.
That.
Okay.
Yo, all right, for sure. He's about it.
So Rude is my favorite streetwear brand, streetwear designer, full designer is Dior. Like, I have a Dior backpack, Dior, like, toiletry kit, Dior. I have a bunch of Dior
Way,
stuff.
Way to flex.
Yeah, light flex. Way to flex. Just a light flex.
Yeah.
Light work.
I will say, my first ever national team camp, that first check, it was a big check. Went to Dior.
Bottle service on you tonight. No, just know your teammates going to watch it. Your teammates going to watch it. They're going to ask for your card. Like, yeah.
I know.
You're paying tonight.
Yeah, he's paying for dinner.
You know you messed up.
Some of these guys have more money than me, so they can pay. But Dior, I would say Rude. I do wear some brands that a lot of people don't know about, so like Vetements, Undercover. I'm trying to think, Palace. I love Palace. Undefeated. A lot of people don't know about those brands, so those are good. I like a lot of streetwear brands. I'm starting to get into vintage now, so like vintage tees, some of the distressed vintage stuff, and then I do like a lot of oversized stuff. So like, you know, whether it's like different types of cargos, I'm starting to getting to baggy jeans, like, again, because I know that's coming back.
Some JNCOs?
Some
JNCOs?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, flary pants, like some Issa Miyake. So I sit at home.
Dropping
and I, like,
jewels right now.
Yeah. No, I do sit at home and I research like a lot, like different styles. You know, one of my I don't want to say dress inspiration, but I have a few, but like, I do like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's look from He wears a lot of like oversized clothes, the baggy jeans, the big sweaters and stuff like that. But like, it's like a cozy, but yet like drippy, you know, and he doesn't wear a lot of designer, believe it or not. Everybody think, you know, you look at some of these athletes and it's just straight designer, but like, I don't think that's that fresh. Like, for me, streetwear vintage is better. Good pair of sneakers. Yeah. Right. I'm very big into sneakers. Like, I will say, like, if you any like big sneaker you name, I probably have. Like, I have all the Travis Scotts. All
not
the,
these.
Like, what's your like go to? What's your go to sneaker?
Go to? That's tough. I'm not gonna lie. I don't like to wear sneakers. Like I try to switch them up so much. I don't have a go to, but I have a favorite.
Okay.
Okay. What's your favorite?
I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
We get the exclusive here. You see? We got to ask the right questions.
Well, how much it cost?
Yo, all it took was one comment from Kellen.
Yeah, Kellen.
And that's crazy because I was going to ask him, like, what did that look like? Like, the relationship while they were playing together.
I'm about to ask him who's better dressing.
Damn, he's digging.
What's he going to pull up? I got what? I got it.
All right, Jordan, so I got you.
Jordan
so
3.
Either these ones.
He got options.
I got
he got options.
Fours.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So either those or.
He has expensive shoes.
Retail price.
I have them unlaced right now. The UNC ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Jordan 4s or Jordan 1s.
I'm unlaced all the time.
Okay.
Oh, all right. You're bright.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't like wearing black and white shoes. They need to be colored, so I do want to get the Chicago ones, the off whites.
Yeah,
damn expensive. And I just,
hey, what did Kevin say?
My head around paying $6,000 for a pair of basketball shoes. So like, I think unless I went to Europe or something, I got a big contract. I think those ones might be pushing it a little bit, you know. So, but and then I think my next cop. Do you know the Chunky Dunkies, the Ben and Jerry ones?
Yeah.
I'm planning to buy those in the next like week or two. I'm just waiting to find like the right price. But yeah, so I like bright colors, like make things that make the shoe stand out. Like, you know, like I have some like black shoes. Like I got the Air Max 90s, the off-white, the black ones, but like they're lame. I don't ever wear. Like I wear them once. Oh. Like
this guy just collected. I'm sorry. I'll take. Hey, what size you wear? I'll take them off your hand. Hey, send them this way. I'll wear them.
Oh, you just cut out.
He asked.
I didn't hear you.
He said, "Just send him over this way."
Yeah, send him over this way.
Hey, I have a very good sneaker plug. If you guys actually are into sneakers, though, so he got like famous on TikTok. So he goes to like dunk exchanges and like he's just like be trading shoes all the time. So like he'll give me good prices. Like I most of the time for like I got a lot of shoes from him. I like don't get me wrong, I'm still paying like a premium, but not what GOAT is, or like, you know, like, right. Let's just say a pair of shoes is $500. He might give it to me for $350 because he's getting That's them from solid. Just like being in that world for so long. Like mm-hmm. he may trade mm-hmm. like shirts to get the shoes, but like, you know what I mean? So it's like not the same value, but like he's like amazing. And he got famous on TikTok because he won the special box, Ben and Jerry's, the Chunky Dunkies. Yeah. So that's like right. the ice cream. It's like literally the ice cream box one. So there was only, I don't think they only made like 10,000 in the world, and they were doing like the big raffle, and he won that. Posted on TikTok, got like 150,000. No, was it? No, it was 1.something million. I lied. I said 150,000. It was like 1.5 million likes on TikTok. Next, you know, he became just this huge reseller. So he sells to all the Broncos players, Nuggets, the players on my team that want shoes. He has some guys on the Rams, Chargers. So he's like a big time reseller now. So
yeah, let's not expose him. Let's not expose him, because like just send us a DM.
Slide the DM.
Yeah. Let's not. Yeah,
we'll take it.
We don't want everybody to know. We want it, but let's not let everybody know.
We can't give it out there. Then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are my best, my favorite shoes though.
We should have done an exclusive like J. Lou. Sneaker,
yeah,
sneaker closet.
We gonna do that.
We got time for that.
I'm not gonna lie. The one, like, I live in an apartment right now, so like, what I'm gonna do next is I'm probably gonna move into a house. But I need to get a house that I can put like shoe rack, because like, I keep all my boxes, so I just stack them. But then like, as I've been buying shoes over the years, I realize I have a lot of shoes. So when I start to actually go look through my shoes, I'm like, bro, I can't even like pull them out sometimes.
Right.
And I'm just like,
so.
You know how many times like the tall tower I'll pull
and
out
it, it just,
in the middle, I just collapse.
Yeah. It just all falls.
All right, so in the league, like, can anybody compete with you with shoe game or not? Top five. Are you top five in the league with the shoes?
For shoe game? Yeah, I will 100%.
Easy. Easy.
But like, the truth is, I don't know what other people's closets are, but just like when you see like who gets posted and stuff, you know, like, because I would say like some of the DPs who dress up, they have a lot of money. They just wear designer shoes. I'm not saying that's not fresh. 100% fresh.
Right.
But do they have like,
but it's basic.
Right. You know,
but wearing designer to wear designer is one thing, right? Wearing designer just because it has a logo
Everybody
on it is one
knows
thing.
Designer.
But you got to put it together. You got to put the whole thing together. You know, exactly. Like that's how you know. Yeah.
So I would say 100%. Like for me, I think streetwear brand. Like if it's like streetwear dress up, I think I'm up there in the league. I think shoe game for sure. You know who has amazing shoe game, but he doesn't really wear a lot of sneakers, to be honest. But I just know this. Kellen has a lot of shoes.
Yeah.
Kellen, I would say for sure, Kellen's sneaker game is. But like, he never dressed. He's like changed his whole fashion like look now. He's on like the whole sophisticated. I wear suits and all that stuff now. Like it's like not basic, but like clean, sharp look.
Classic.
Now.
Classic.
But like, Kellen's like one of my best friends, so I know. But like, we've been out and like, when we're going to like the club and stuff, and like, that's when we're dressing streetwear. Nah.
Who buys the bottle service? You or Kayla? Who's paying for the bottle service?
Nah. It depends. I mean, we all pitch in, honestly. Like, no one really like spend like X, Y, and Z. But no, we've gone to the club before. And, like, he got like the Jordan Dior ones. Like, when I saw him with those on, I said, nah. I said,
bow down.
I was like, yeah, let me. You know, Baji played with us. He has sneaker game as well. Baji has a lot of big time shoes. He has all the off-white Jordan ones, because he has the white. Yeah, he has all the triple whites. He has the Chicago Reds. He has the UNCs. He has the Jordan Dior ones, but I think they're fake.
Yo.
He was going to buy them. He didn't buy them, but the guy was giving him some ridiculous price. I was like, nah, those are fake. For sure. He's like, no, bro, I have a good plug. Trust me. I'm like, all right, bud. But no, but he has a lot of good shoes. He has all the travel.
That's hilarious.
He has everything.
Yo, that's crazy.
That's funny.
But, hey, listen, give us your plug, not the fake.
Yeah,
plug.
Yeah, give us yours. We'll do that. We'll do that. You know, off camera. But John, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been a lot of fun. I know we said we would make the fashion bit quick, but I mean we went into it. I'm glad we did though. I'm glad we did. That's the very first sneaker reveal we've had on the podcast. So you know, this was a lot of fun, John. Thank you so much. But for Julio Matarosa, Bridget Flores, John Lewis, I'm Ramsey Abushala. This has been the Urban Pitch Podcast. Appreciate y'all for watching. Keep it tuned in. We got more stuff coming. But until then, we'll see y'all next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger,
offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.